Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL, getting ready to talk to Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. And it's going to be a nice week as we head into Easter, Holy Week, I guess, for some. Highs today of 81. Plenty of sunshine. Tomorrow, 79, 76. On Wednesday, that brings us to Holy Thursday, 81 for a high then, 84 Friday, 84 Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday itself, cloudy, highs of 82, so it's going to be rather humid. We're still waiting on the insurance commissioner. No, we do have the insurance commissioner. There we go, Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
I got to tell you, I applaud your stand, and B, as a Louisianian, I'm troubled that, and I'm going to read from Wesley Muller's story here in Louisiana Illuminator. You can tell me if it's not correct. Temple, who did not attend the governor's event, said he last spoke to Landry in May of 2024 regarding the insurance legislation lawmakers passed last year. After the governor vetoed some of the legislation, Temple said he called the governor's office and was told Landry wasn't available at any time for the foreseeable future. Is that accurate?
Yeah, look, it is. And I know the governor's probably more than mad at me, but I have been trying to have a conversation with him. I've used every channel, formal channels, informal channels, and it hasn't taken place. I know that there's been a statement that that's not true, but I'll tell you what, I would never make a statement like that unless it was.
So what did you want to talk to him about, Tim?
Look, we started having these conversations, as everybody has referenced, the legislature, we had 14 meetings talking about the cost drivers. The governor acknowledged in his press conference, he acknowledged two of the major cost drivers, excessive bodily injury claims and litigation rates. And we need to have, if we're going to address this problem in our state, then I think that all of state leadership needs to be on the same page. And I have tried to have a conversation, like I said, to sit down and and work through this. And it's not taking place. It hasn't taken place. And it still hasn't taken place since last week.
I'm not trying to sound stupid. I'm serious. Tim, do you guys work in the same building? Do you ever run into each other?
We do not work in the same building. The Department of Insurance looks over the lake at the Capitol building. And look, I have been in the same room with the governor. We have had conversations. Just pleasantries, if you will, but we have not been able to sit down and talk about insurance. And look, one of the things I think is going to happen this session is that everybody's going to focus on this disagreement and not focus on any solution. You know what? We can have disagreements. I still support the governor on almost every single thing that he's behind. And so I don't know why everybody wants to focus on this one issue. Yes, it's extremely important, and yes, we need to work together. But I think people are going to try and make a bigger issue than this needs to be. We're adults. We can have disagreements and see different views. But at the end of the day, We've got to work together to help bring relief to the citizens of Louisiana. That's what I'm focused and committed on doing.
Well, Tim, just to say, as far as focusing, as a Louisianian, I don't give a crap whether you guys like each other or not. I'm just tired of paying these ridiculously high insurance rates. So what's the elephant in the room? Why does the governor not want to talk to you? Is it about influence of trial attorneys? Is it about tort reform? What would that look like?
Look, I haven't had the opportunity to have that conversation, but I think we certainly have disagreements on what needs to be done. The package of bills that I'm supporting is designed to reduce claims cost. That's what we've identified. That's the driver in Louisiana. Premiums follow losses. Premiums follow losses up, and premiums follow losses down. What we're trying to do is bend the loss curve. The excess bodily injury, the excess litigation costs that we all share in this state. And if we, and these, the bills that I'm supporting are focused on doing that.
Let me take a break, and Tim, because it seems like what I'm hearing, and look, I'm just a layman in all of this, a guy that just has to write a big check to State Farm again. That it seems like every time you turn around, it's time for one vehicle or the other to be renewed. And it's like, oh, Lord, you get, I got life insurance with State Farm as well, and I get the envelope and I open it as though I'm in some type of terrorist zone or something, very carefully wondering, is this the $55 life insurance premium or is this the big one? And it turned out to be the big one. So I want to talk about this. It seems like Texas does one thing, Louisiana does another. The governor, from my standpoint at least, wants to do something in between, and I don't think that's enough for you. You can clarify when we come back. 720 Traffic Now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Tim, we have a text line where people can text in. I'm going to read you this text, all right, because I want you to address it. This guy is in bed with the insurance industry his entire life. When he runs again, I'll vote against him. He gets a no-trust vote. Address if you dare. I don't know who sent that in, but if anything, I would say the converse of that text is true, that you're standing up to the governor. And with that being said, that goes back to the question I asked you before, which is Texas right next door, the insurance rates are vastly lower. The governor, it seems to me, from a layman's opinion, wants to do something between what we do now and what Texas has, and you're saying that's not enough. Is that accurate or not?
Look, what's going to be proposed this session is about big government overregulation and red tape. That's not going to get us out of this crisis. And there are two bills that are being backed, one in the House and one in the Senate, by trial attorneys. And they want to copy or emulate, I don't know if it's Texas or if it's some hybrid version, but the position that they have now started to take, because it's, I guess, a popular one, is that I am at fault for the current rates in the state of Louisiana. And that I have the authority to change the rate structure. But we do have the authority to deny rates when they're excessive, when they don't meet actuarial justifications, meaning the insurance company can't justify the rate that they're charging. A lot of people don't like that. They don't like the math. They don't like the fact that our medical and our legal utilization is twice the national average, and that's what's driving premiums. And they want to try and create additional regulatory burden, bureaucratic red tape, and say, well, then let's put that on somebody else. And that's simply not the case.
So how do you change it? Because let me jump in. This is all, you've mentioned actuarial. This is all about the insurance company saying, look, this is how much we're out of pocket on damages. The governor tried to make it about advertising and expenses, and he mentioned the Geico Leopard and a trial attorney. He didn't mention the trial attorney he went hunting with, nor did he mention Patrick Mahomes or anybody else. I'm of the impression that if you're a company, you can spend your money however you want. That being said, when it comes to increases, that's not based on profit. That's based on what they pay out. Did I say anything wrong there or not?
Yeah, and that's generally correct. And look, I think there are two states that limit what insurance companies can't put their advertising cost into their rate making. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhere between 1 and 3% of the total cost.
So is that a red herring or not?
It's a red herring. Right. It is not the driver of the rates. Again, if we want to have lower premiums, which I think everybody in this state does, we have to drive the cost of the claim down. And look, when it goes into rating, and again, you know, we always get into the complexity of insurance, but when insurance companies are calculating their premiums, they obviously, they're going to look at the type of vehicle you have, right? Because a $50,000 car is going to cost $50,000 if it's totaled and brand new and they have to replace it. They're going to look at your geographic area. They look at credit, and I know there's a big debate on that.
Yeah,
but we're,
address
we're
that.
Talking about.
Address that if you would, real
no,
quick.
No. Wait,
Go ahead. All right.
They're looking at your sex, your age. All of these are factors that go into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have to look at what is the likelihood of a crash occurring in your state, where you are. In Louisiana, we aren't an outlier, so that's not a big driver. All of these things contribute, but they're not the major drivers. What happens, if we've seen it time and time and time and time and time again, when we have that accident, it's twice the national average to claim bodily injury and twice the national average to litigate. Those are the cost drivers. Whether people like it or not, those are the cost drivers. And if we want lower premiums, then we have to drive the cost of the claim down. It is that simple.
I think the fact
we want lower costs.
Let's talk about credit rating real quick. Is that a red herring or is that a legitimate concern?
I think, again, if we go down that route and outlaw or prohibit credit scoring, then we're going to be one of a handful of states that do that. Most states allow credit scoring.
What are the prices like in those states? I'm just curious.
Lower. Everybody is lower. When we're the highest in the country, that means no matter what state you pick, it's lower.
Tim, I would love to have you back. We're out of time now. I would love to have you back in the 9 o'clock hour where you can spend an hour on this and go into detail because the devil is in the details, all right?
Let's schedule. I want to get into all of it.
Jordan will be in touch with you. We'll get it set up. Thank you, sir. Thank Jim you. Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. We'll take a break. Take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WWL, in case you've noticed, it's been a little wild on Wall Street. Mark Rosa joins us now, our friend, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, for Monday Morning Markets with Mark as we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Are you fine? What do we got ahead? Calm waters? Do you see red skies in the morning? Investors take warning? What do you see?
Tommy, a couple of things. You know, it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think we've talked about any other subject as much as long as we've been having the program, then tariffs has come into just about every conversation, and I think it's put Wall Street on a pause.
But to be fair, he does keep bringing it up. I'm just kidding.
Well, so when it's first introduced, Dow at about 42,000 promptly sold off to 38, and I'm glad it's recovered quite a bit. But since the 9th, it's moved back up to around 40, and it's around 40.7 right now. And if the market opened this minute, it looks like it's going to be up about 380, 390 points. That's good news. So I think all the shock value has left the market, and it's regained most of what it lost. So now we're from about 42 right before this party began to about 40 right now, close to 41.
But wait, that's interesting. So you're saying it won't be as topsy-turvy this week, you don't think?
I don't. Well, you know, you never know what comes out of the tariff conversations. But I thought that so many of the countries, at least that's the news I was listening to over the weekend, so many of them were coming, you know, coming to the bargaining table and trying to sort out the differences between themselves and the U.S. And I saw that the European Union at first, we're going to reject everything, and it didn't take them long to say, no, we're looking now at a zero for zero tariff. And tell me, most of these countries are in recession, and they got themselves that way by a number of things. Germany, one of the strongest economic entities in the world, got themselves sideways on the net zero. Their energy costs have gone up several fold. You got some of the biggest employers in Germany for the first time in their history, Volkswagen, for instance, laying off tens of thousands of people because they couldn't afford the power to run the factories like they used to. So they're going to be short from an export standpoint, hundreds of thousands of cars from there, all the German brands. The Mercedes, BMW, Volkswagen Group has owned several car brands. So if they're having trouble, the other countries are sure to be having trouble financially.
You said they're going to be short, but if they're, how would they be short if there's the demand? Then why would they lay off workers? I'm confused.
Well, they're not able to produce the cars. They're not able to keep the factories open with the current energy costs to produce the cars that they normally produce. At least that's the news that I've gotten from that. And they're going to produce several hundred thousand, that was the quote, fewer cars than it would normally be producing because they're so they starve themselves of energy sources. They wanted to go green and wind and everything, but it doesn't produce the power that the country needs.
But is the demand for the cars still there, Mark? I'm wondering why they wouldn't just raise the prices.
Well, that's okay. So then you've got the German brands, but they also own, I'm trying to think, a couple of brands. They used to own Jaguar. I think that's gone. Mm-hmm. But they own Audi. They own Lamborghini. They own a lot of brands that we wouldn't normally think that comes under the VW group. But I think there could be demand for the cars, but they're not going to be producing them. And then if the tariffs are hitting vehicles specifically, but at least the person that was the head of the European Union was speaking yesterday saying that we want to take everything down to a zero tariff. So, you know, my point is that many of the countries there are in recession. Canada isn't doing well financially. China is basically in recession at this point. So I think a lot of that, they realize when these tariffs have come on, it's going to be a little bit more painful than at first. You know, they want to dig their heels in and, oh, we can go without them. That's not happening. They can't go without us very easily. So that's where I think the market has started trading sideways because these other countries want to negotiate. And the other part, I mean, it's just so the market is not, you would have to have a catalyst to make it go further. And it caused the Fed to kind of sit on their hands. They're saying a little inflation news in a second. Well, we got encouraging news to come out last week about inflation, and the Fed would normally, it's been in their range. It's lower in the range that they were expecting to start lowering rates. And, you know, the Fed chair is saying, well, you know, we don't have to be in a hurry for this. We need to see how far these tariffs are going to unravel. So I think that's what's got the market trading sideways. Otherwise, the belief is that the Fed would lower rates at the May meeting, but they're not. So the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, their Fed Watch program, it looks like they meet in 23 days, no change expected for May. And there is an expectation for a 25 basis point reduction in June and another rate reduction right behind it in July. So that, you know, we're going to have to wait and see on what comes out of the tariffs and what comes out of some other economic indicators that will come out. This week, not so busy. We just have retail sales. But if you want a break, and I can
let's take a break.
And PPI after the break.
We'll talk about all the CPI, PPI. Mark Roser, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Taking a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday morning markets with Mark, 751, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8. Back to Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, Monday morning markets with Mark. Mark saying earlier, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, that hopefully a lot of the ups and downs, depending on what the president says about tariffs, might not be as bad this week.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, that's the best we could do, just kind of reading into what might be going on. Mm-hmm. But it seems like several countries have come to the table. As expected, China looks like it's being stubborn, but their economy is in recession as well. So I think they are going to be more eager to negotiate than maybe they let on from the beginning. But last month, the news came out last week on the CPI and PPI, consumer prices, It's the first drop since May of 2020. Both of the indicators, CPI and PPI, came in at negative numbers, and that's what you and I have been talking about for months, if not years. That it can't. It's one thing if inflation is increasing at a very anemic rate, or increasing at a decreasing rate. I know that sounds like doublespeak, but the other was, you and I said it really has to start showing negative numbers where prices are actually falling. So CPI down 0.1%, that was expected to be up, and year over year it dropped from 2.8% and is an annual rate down to 2.4%. So this is right smack in the territory where the Fed said we see these numbers that are being somewhat consistent, not volatile, and in the twos, in the low twos, they were going to be open to start cutting rates. So that's where I think the CME, the Chicago Merck Fed Watch, are recording a lot of the participants thinking that we're going to have a June and July cut. And the PPI came in even better than the consumer prices. It was expected to be up 0.2%. It was down 0.4%. So then on a year-over-year basis, again, we're going from 3.2% at an annual rate down to 2.7%. So both of those figures, 2.4% and 2.7% on an annual basis, that's very comfortable. And the Fed even said so over the weekend, but saying, well, you know, we got this with the tariffs. We don't want to start kicking down the rates to start stimulating the economy. And then the tariffs would add to that. So that's why they're on wait and see. But it seems like the analysts are optimistic. Looking at June and July back to back, that would be helpful.
So where does the market stand, if we're keeping score, if we can ask such a thing, for people that are, you know, the sky is falling and everything else, where it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, et cetera?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so well, the Dow, it's down 4.9% year-to-date. And that's where someone would say, well, I'm looking at my 401, and I saw my year-end numbers, and I'm down a little bit. Well, it was down a whole lot more than that. It recovered, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. But on a one-year basis, it's up 6.7%, Tommy. So that's not a bad number. And you talk about looking at a five-year, it's up 70%, 7-0. So here we always have said we've seen downturns. We've seen them, that the downturns come from many different origins. But it seems like every time the same is true. Don't panic. Don't sell into it. And people invariably do. And I think it's just it makes a bigger mess out of their accounts than if they would have just held the course. This is kind of man-made, this downturn based on the tariffs. Otherwise, I think the market would have found higher numbers, and I think it will after a lot of this it clears up. And lastly, I think it will clear up. It's not going to be on there forever.
Thank you, Mark. Very valuable information. We wait until Friday now for Managing Your Money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Always some interesting information. I'll talk about David Blake when we come back on WWL.